12. Max returned to Sanctuary to find all manner of hell breaking loose. Remy was holed up in Peltier House with his brother Sharif, Carson, and the children and pregnant females, along with the Howlers and a contingency of Arcadians and Katagaria, ready to lay down their lives for Amy and the others. As he came down the stairs from his attic with Sarah behind him, he met Remy in the hallway outside Amy's bedroom. No doubt, Remy had taken that post to make sure no one came near his sister and threatened her while she rested. Max paused in front of him. "What's going on? I heard my brother call." With his familiar sneer in place, Remy jerked his chin toward the stairs that led down to the main part of the house. "Ilarion's with the others in the bar. We're holding the fort. The Amazons return with the Catalacus Arcadian wolves who want your ass on a platter. You should probably stay here while Dev and the others deal. Personally, wish they'd have let me get an ounce of wolf flesh, since I can't have Fang for taking my sister. I'd settle for his cousins." In spite of the fact that most shifters and people didn't like Remy due to his acerbic personality, Max strangely did. They'd always seen eye to eye with their basic philosophy. When in doubt, kill them all and let the gods sort it out. Remy glanced past Max's shoulder to Sarah.
"You want me to guard your dragon swan while you see to them?"
Max turned slightly to smile at the perturbed expression on her beautiful face.
No.
He draped an arm around her shoulders.
"I think I'll unleash her on them. She's far more fierce than I am."
Remy came as close to a smile as the bear could, at least until his nephew Jake came out of the nursery with a small, sleepy toddler in his arms.
"Hey, Uncle Remy, you think it's safe to grab some milk from the kitchen? I don't want to wake my mom, and we're out. I tried to get Omi to go back to sleep without it, but he's not listening to me."
Max didn't miss the familiar deep pain that flashed across Remy's blue eyes at the sight of Jake and Albert. They were the sons of his identical twin Quinn and his mate Becca. The bear swain Remy was still desperately in love with and had wanted to be mated to. But the fates had been even more unkind to him than they'd been to Max and Sarah. Masking the pain, Remy brushed his hand over Aubert's dark hair to soothe the fussing boy who wanted his milk.
"I'll get it. You two stay here where it's safest."
"Okay, I'll go change him."
Jake headed back to the nursery, while his little brother whined in protest.
"I want milk!"
As they walked down the stairs and into the kitchen toward the bar, they could hear the angry shouts that strangely reminded him of Aubert's childish cries. Remy bit his lip as he mumbled under his breath at how much he wanted to fight.
"Bust some ass for me, Max,"
he said in a louder tone, before grabbing the milk and heading back toward his nephews. As Max started for the swinging doors, Sarah took his arm.
"Run with me?"
He smiled at her unexpected offer.
"Now you see my way of thinking."
"I do."
"My lady's timing
stinks."
Max took a moment to pull her into his arms and kiss her forehead.
"Nothing would mean more to me.
But I can't do that to the Peltiers and my brother. Not after everything they've done for me over the years." "And that's why I love and hate you."
Snorting at her strange sense of humor, he released her and slid through the swinging door to see what was happening out in the bar. Fang, Vane, Dev, Ilarion, and the wolves and bears were in the bar, ready to war against every member of Seraphina's tribe. Thankfully, the bar was still closed to humans, or this would have been an even worse situation.
"I demand you hand over the Dragonbane. He attacked our Patria, killed our members, and..."
"Cry to your mama, bitch. I don't care."
Fang flipped the Arcadian wolf off.
"Fang!"
Vane put himself between his brother and the other wolf.
"Not helping."
Dev laughed.
"Maybe not, but he's highly entertaining and helping lift my mood immensely."
Samia smacked her husband in the stomach. "Stay out of this. If we wanted to blow the bar up again, we'd have brought Remy out here." Sarah brushed past Max to address the group. This isn't about the Dragonbane. It's about Nala's pact with a demon.
Hold your tongue,
Nala glared at her. No, not in this. I won't watch you destroy my mate again.
Seraphina.
But Sarah wasn't having any part of this. I will renounce my allegiance to the tribe before I allow you to take him. She pulled her sword from its sheath. You want Maxis? You have to come through me. Ilorian moved to stand at her back. Completely stunned, Max was frozen to the spot. He honestly couldn't believe what he was seeing. Was it even real? Sarah was defending him? Fang took up the position on the left-hand side of Sarah's body. As you can see, we like our Dragonbane. He goes really well with the furniture. Sarcastic applause sounded, breaking the tension. Nice! From the rear of the Arcadians, a demon stepped forward. He wasn't Kassar, but there was something remotely familiar about him. Max tried to remember where he'd seen him before. Definitely Galu. The stench was unmistakable. The demon stopped in front of Fang and raked him with a sneer.
However, you're all forgetting something. While you are bound by the laws of your Omegrion,
we are not.
Do you really want me to unleash my warriors here? How long do you think you and your animals will stand?
Fang didn't miss a beat. Long enough to mount your head to my wall. The demon opened his mouth to speak, then began a strange gurgling noise. Sarah and Ilorian stepped back, as did Nala. Max closed the distance between them to protect his family. Quicker than he could blink, Dev grabbed a mop bucket and had it in front of the demon in time to catch him as he unloaded the contents of his stomach. Grimacing and cursing, he glanced over to Sam.
Yeah, you raised as many nieces and nephews as I have and run a bar? You learn that attractive I ate too much sound, so grab a bucket, uncle, I gotta hurl.
Making an even worse face, he turned back toward the demon.
You through? 'Cause dude, this is some nasty stuff you got going on, and I really hope this shit ain't contagious.
Instead, the demon fell to his knees in agony. He was in so much pain he couldn't talk. Dev set the bucket aside as they all stared at the demon in stunned silence.
Anyone know a demon doctor?
What's wrong with him?
Nala asked. Fury shrugged. I'm thinking his last victim didn't go down right.
Who'd you eat?
Dev snorted sarcastically.
Judging by the contents of the bucket, I'd say a Muppet. Looks like Kermit.
Sam let out a sound of extreme pain. Y'all are so gross. With an exaggerated gesture, Leah nodded her complete agreement. And still, the demon convulsed and gagged, wheezed and sputtered, then burst apart. In unison, everyone stepped back from the spot where he'd been as if afraid that, too, was contagious.
Holy shit,
Dev breathed. Fury took Leah's hand.
My freaking giddy aunt.
Fang and Vane towed the smoking remains of the demon before they swept their gaze around the room.
Savitar?
Vane called. Fang scowled.
Thorn?
No one answered. His features pale, Fang met Max's gaze.
Have you ever seen or heard of anything like this?
Before he could answer, Nala gasped in alarm. Then she cried out in pain. Sarah stepped toward her.
Basilina?
She held her hand up to show that it was slowly turning gray.
I think I'm returning to stone. You?
Horrified, Seraphina examined her own body.
I don't think so.
Her breathing ragged, Nala shook her head.
What is this?
Shrieking, she vanished and took her Amazons with her. Fang and Vane turned to the Arcadians, but without their demon and Amazon warriors, their bluster faded.
This isn't over, their leader promised. I, too, am a Catalacus, Lycos, and I demand the satisfaction of seeing the one who cursed our race pay for his crimes. I'll be back.
And with that, they were gone. Max noticed that Sarah was paler than she'd been.
Sarah Mia?
I don't feel right either. She pressed her hand to her forehead. It's so strange.
Her legs buckled. Max swept her up in his arms and teleported her from the bar back to Peltier House and into the infirmary.
Carson!
The Garakian appeared instantly. What's wrong?
I don't know. She's sick or something.
Max stepped back so that Carson could examine her. Time dragged as he worried his lip and waited anxiously for the doctor to tell them both that she was fine, that it was just exhaustion from the unbelievably long day they'd had. That was what he expected. Unfortunately, it wasn't what Carson did.
This is weird. It's like the spell that Kassar unlocked is reversing itself.
Max's breath caught in his throat as fear went through him. No, Carson was wrong. He had to be.
What?
She's slowly turning back into stone.
In that moment, he felt as if all the wind had been violently knocked out of his body.
Bullshit! Don't fuck with me, Carson!
He pulled the stethoscope from his neck.
I'm not.
Patting Sarah gently on the shoulder, he offered her a sad, sympathetic smile.
I'm sorry. I have no idea how to reverse this.
Her eyes glistened as she met Max's gaze, but she managed to blink her tears back. I should have known the gods wouldn't allow us to go free. We were meant to be punished for riding against them. Let's face it, they're not exactly known for their mercy.
Max sank down on his knees in front of her as a thousand emotions ransacked him at once. But the one that hit him the hardest was fear and anguish. The love that didn't want to lose her again.
I can't let you go.
Not again.
She brushed her hand through his hair.
I'm sorry.
I should never have followed Nala in her war against the gods.
She was so sure the Sumerians would take over Greece.
Laughing bitterly, she winced. Stupid bitch never backed a winning side in any conflict.
Why did you ride against them?
I don't know. I was angry at the gods for what they'd done to us, what they'd done to our children. I wanted the blood of Apollo and Artemis for creating our races, the heads of the fates for condemning us. It was a suicide run. Yet it made me feel powerful, as if I had some control over my destiny. How stupid is that?
It wasn't stupid. A little arrogant and a lot short-sighted, but not stupid.
He laid his head in her lap and held her tight.
I can't go back.
He pierced her with a furious glower.
I won't.
There's nothing we can do.
Yes, there is.
Seraphina went cold at the tone he used. Foreboding sent chills over her entire body.
What are you thinking?
Biting his lower lip, he swallowed hard.
Stay here with Carson. I'll be right back.
Maxis!
He didn't listen. As he vanished, she tried to stop him. She jumped off the bed and grabbed for his arm. It was too late. He was gone, without a single trace. Only a slight stir in the air gave any hint that he'd been there at all. Terrified, she met Carson's gaze that mirrored her own concerns.
What is he doing?
The doctor shook his head.
I have no idea, but I'm thinking it can't be good.
Yeah, I second that.
Max hesitated as he did something he knew was all kinds of stupid. The kind of stupid that if one of his brothers had done it, he'd have beaten them senseless, thrown water on them to revive them, then beaten them more. But he couldn't think of any other way to spare his dragon swan from her fate, and if he didn't move fast, it would be too late. With a deep breath, he closed his eyes and ignored the pain of his wounds. He summoned every ounce of dragon's breath inside him and teleported from sanctuary to the gates of Samothraki.
While the humans in this time and place saw nothing but the jagged remains of a bygone era, he knew where the opening to a most sacred place lay. Much like the gateways to Avalon and Colossus, it shimmered only in the faintest heartbeats right at dusk and dawn, so quickly that it was easily missed or dismissed as a trick of the eye. But this was one of the last places where his brethren slept in the modern world. And this was one of his last remaining siblings.
Falcon?
Nothing but the evening sea breeze answered him. Max picked his way through the ruins of the ancient temple complex, where mankind had once paid tribute to the gods of old, where they'd once made offerings to his kind, hoping to win their cooperation and affection. Things today were so different.
Damn it, Falcon! If you can hear me, answer!
I don't answer to humans. If you want to speak to me, pick the right language. Max laughed bitterly as he switched over to Drakeen.
I don't have time for you to be an asshole. I need you, brother.
Something struck him hard across his chest and knocked him flying. By the pain of it and the distance he flew before he slammed into the ground, he'd say it must have been Falcon's barbed tail. With a pain-filled groan, he pushed himself up.
Feel better?
Not really. When I slit you from asshole to appetite, then I should rally emotionally. This time when he attacked, Max caught the blow. Using his force field, he blocked and sent it back at his older brother.
Please, Falcon, please.
The pressure against him lessened, then it vanished. Max relaxed, only to realize too late that it was a trick. Falcon materialized at his back and caught him in a vicious headlock. He choked him hard as he held Max against his body.
Behold what is left of my island because of you, brother. You brought those Greek bastards here, and I hate you for it.
Yeah, okay, this might have been a massive mistake. He'd hoped a few thousand years would have mellowed his brother's wrath. Apparently Falcon needed a few thousand more.
I'm sorry. I had nowhere else to go.
And I have nothing more to say to you. With no choice, Max turned on him and flipped him.
Listen to me. I don't want to fight you.
But a fight it was. Falcon came after him like a starving dog in a buffet line that was after the last pork chop. Damn, he'd forgotten how hard his brother could hit. With no choice, he transformed to a dragon. It was the only way to survive, and he didn't really want to kill his brother. Well, theoretically. However, if Falcon didn't come to his senses soon, Max might change his mind. He didn't need his brother alive to claim what he was after. Only his conscience required a breathing Falcon.
Oh, dear gods, really?
Suddenly, Ilarion was between them in his dragon body, pushing them apart.
Stop it, both of you.
Falcon spun around, trying to sting him one more time with his tail. Max caught it with his talons and bit it so hard Falcon yelped. Ilarion glared at him.
Was that necessary?
Max released his tail.
A little bit.
With an irritable growl, Falcon shot fire at him. Ilarion froze it with his powers. He glared at Falcon.
We are down to the last four of our house. Can you please not cull our lineage any more?
Then you'd best get him out of my sight.
Falcon? I mean it, Illy. I'm not in the mood.
He lumbered off toward his gate.
I need a dragon stone, Falcon. My children and Swan will die without it.
Falcon froze.
You dare to ask me for that? You're the only one left who has one.
Falcon turned to pin each of them with a fierce, stern glower.
And I really don't give a fuck. Go home, both of you. I never want to see you again.
With those cold words, he vanished between the gates. Stunned, Max stared after him.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry, Max. Unable to believe this, he laughed bitterly.
I knew you were selfish and cold, Val, but this... Mom would be proud to know how much you take after her. I wish I'd killed you when I had the chance, you bastard.
Stop, Max.
You know why he feels this way. Yeah, sure, like everyone else, he blamed Max for things Max hadn't wanted, for things he couldn't help, that he'd done everything to avoid. Now Sarah and his children would pay for it. Max ached with the weight of his guilt and pain. It wasn't right. He didn't mind carrying the burden of his punishment. He was used to it. But he couldn't stand for the blowback to hit his family. Not even Falcon. There was nothing he could do. His heart broken that he'd failed, he led Ilarion back to Sanctuary so that he could spend whatever time he had left with his wife before the gods returned her to a cold, dead statue. Medea hesitated outside her parents' bedroom as a bad feeling went through her at the uncharacteristic silence that greeted her. Not that the sounds she normally heard whenever she ventured here at this hour were comforting, far from it, but...
Mom? Dad?
The door opened by its own volition. Even more wary, she slid her hands to her weapons, ready to attack whatever threat might be waiting in the large candle-lit room. With its covers rumpled, the king-size four-poster bed was empty. On one side, the drapes were pulled away as if it had been vacated quickly. Then she heard the faint telltale sound of sickness from the bathroom. "We're in here," her father called. Still not sure this wasn't a trick, Medea moved quickly, yet cautiously, toward the retching sounds. When she reached the door that was slightly ajar, she pushed it wider and froze in complete shock. Barely dressed, her mother was on the floor, sick, while her father held her. His short black hair was tousled, and his handsome face contorted by worry. Someone, no doubt her father, had braided her mother's long blonde hair to keep it out of her way while she was ill. Both of them were pale and shaking. Terrified, Medea rushed closer to them. "What's going on?" Stryker swallowed hard before he answered.
"I don't know. She woke up gagging and has been sick for over an hour now."
He adjusted the cool cloth on her mother's head. Since daemons and their brand of demon couldn't get sick, in theory, or pregnant, this couldn't be good. Medea knelt down beside her mother.
"Matera?"
With a greenish cast to her skin, her mother placed a tender hand to Medea's cheek and tried to smile.
"I'll be fine, little one. I just need a minute."
But she could tell by the fear in her father's eyes that this was worse than her brave mother was letting on.
"Did you need something?"
her father asked. She let out a frustrated sigh.
I hate to burden you with anything else."
He arched a brow.
"Kassar's return to the playing field. My spy at Sanctuary just sent word that he has the Emerald Tablet in hand and has awakened the Scythian riders to come for you."
Her mother made a sound of supreme pain.
"I hate those bitches. I should have ripped out Nala's throat when I had the chance."
Only her mother could muster that much hatred and venom in that condition. But then that was what Medea loved best about Zephira. She was a fighter to the bitter end. Her father laughed at the threat.
"He's coming for me."
Medea nodded.
"And he wants Max."
"The dragon?"
"Yes."
"Why?"
her father asked with a frown. Before she could speak, there was another knock on their door. Medea rose.
"I'll see who it is."
She teleported to the door, intending to brush off whoever was there, yet as soon as she opened it and saw her second-in-command and best friend, Davin, she knew something was wrong. He had the same greenish cast to his skin, and her handsome, lovely friend looked as ill as her mother. And, like her parents, his blonde hair was tousled all over his head, something Davin never allowed to happen.
"What's wrong?"
He braced his hand against the frame as he struggled to breathe.
"There's some kind of illness spreading through our ranks."
As he started to elaborate, he broke off into a fit of coughing.
It's as if we have a plague.
An even worse feeling went through her at those words. Whenever someone mentioned the words plague and daemon, only one name came to mind. Apollo. And that rat bastard just happened to be in residence. Terrified she was right, but really, really hoping she wasn't, she moved toward Davin.
Come on, baby, let me get you to bed.
He pulled back from her.
Not that I wouldn't appreciate the help, but I don't want you to catch whatever the hell this is. Besides, Stryker would gut me if I gave it to you, and you would too.
She snorted at his sick sense of humor. Only you could be that funny and that ill simultaneously. Go on with you before I beat you anyway, just for good measure. Offering a weak smile, he vanished. Medea took a moment to check on her mom and dad again. Her giant, muscular father had her mother cradled in his lap like a small child. Zephira appeared so tiny and frail, two things Medea wouldn't normally apply to a woman who was fierce and strong beyond measure. He cupped her mother's face with his massive paw of a hand while he rocked her gently and kept her head tucked protectively beneath his chin. His obvious love choked Medea and brought tears to her eyes. For all her father's faults, he did adore her mother. And her. Sensing her presence, he caught her gaze.
Who was it?
Davin, I'm going to check on something and then I'll update you.
I trust you, daughter.
As she started to leave, he stopped her.
Medea.
Yes, father?
Love you.
For a full minute, she couldn't move. Well, she knew he felt that way. He didn't normally say it. Like her mother, her father was a fierce, violent creature, a ruthless daemon of action, not affection. The fact that he felt compelled to say that worried her even more.
Love you too.
And as she withdrew, she heard him doing the last thing she ever expected. He whispered a prayer to Apollome to help cure her mother's illness.
Yeah, that was scary.
And ironically, that was where she was headed. If anyone should have a clue about this, surely the ancient Atlantean goddess of destruction might know something. Medea teleported from their home to the palace on the hill where Apollome resided with her Charante guards. Since it was late, she wasn't sure where the goddess might be. During the day, which was as dark as night in this hell realm known as Colossus, the goddess was normally found in her garden. Medea wasn't sure if Apollome slept or what she did at night. Truthfully, she'd never given it much thought. Though, now that she did, Apollome must be lonely. She kept herself apart from the daemons who worshipped her, apart from the Charante demons who guarded her. And there was no cable TV here. The curse that imprisoned her in this realm prevented her from visiting her son, Acheron, or from leaving this place. What did the goddess do? It definitely wasn't crochet or play Parcheesi. Medea hesitated in the great hall of the black marble palace.
Hello?
That seemed like the safest way to announce her presence without irritating the dangerous goddess too much. A tall Charante female appeared by her side. With long green hair that matched her eyes, she had yellow-orange skin and dark orange horns and wings.
Yes?
It's all right, Sabine. I'm sure she's here to ask after a cure for her mother. You're excused for the night. Go see to your wee ones. Turning, the Charante gave a slight bow to the ever-graceful Atlantean goddess.
Yes, Sacra.
Like a silent wraith, Apollome glided out of the shadows. Her long, white-blonde hair floated around her lithe body and was a stark contrast for her black gown. Her swirling, silver eyes filled with compassion, she approached Medea.
I heard your father's plea. What's going on?
Medea hesitated. This was the Atlantean destroyer, a goddess of utter ruthlessness and destruction, who had massacred her entire pantheon and family. Not the Queen of Warm Fuzzies.
Why are you being so
Medea shuddered at using the word in front of the goddess, lest she offend her and end up as a stain on the wall or floor. Kind. Apollyme laughed, evilly. While your thoughts are correct, child, I would remind you that I killed them all over the fact that they harmed my son. She sobered. In spite of the fights we've had over the centuries, Stryker is my son as well. And though I did not birth him, he is no less dear to me. And as any mother, I will not and cannot allow one son to harm the other. And that is the only time I've ever stayed Stryker's hand. I won't allow him to attack Apostolos or Styx, so long as he leaves his brothers and their families in peace. I will not splinter him into pieces. And I would no sooner harm him than I would any of my children. She cupped Medea's chin in her hand. And that includes you. Now what do you need from me, child? Medea hesitated again. Honestly, she wasn't used to affection from anyone other than her mother, and for a time, until the humans had murdered him, her husband. Her relationship with her father was a very new one. She'd never had a grandparent of any sort, and this side of Apollyme rather frightened her. It definitely made her uncomfortable. But for now, she'd go with it. There seems to be a plague moving through the Spathi here. Davin is ill, as is my mother. Apollyme's swirling silver eyes flashed red as she dropped her hand. An unseen wind swept through the room, whipping her hair around her body. With a hissing curse, she turned and stalked away.
Akra?
Follow me.
Medea knew better than to question or disobey that tone of voice. She quickened her steps to catch up to the goddess, who led her down to a lower level of the palace that had once belonged to Missos, the Atlantean god of death and violence. From the looks of this level, she would say that this was where that ancient god had once held his special damned guests for punishment in their afterlives. According to Medea's brother, Urien, those souls had been among the first consumed by the original daemons Apollyme had brought here and saved from Apollo's curse. The souls of those corrupted damned had fed them for a long time. But unfortunately, all good things came to an end. And after a time, the daemons had been forced to leave and prey on humans out in the world to feed and elongate their lives, thanks to Apollo and his horrific curse. As they reached the end of the hallway, Apollyme used her powers to throw open a thick iron door. Chained in a naked heap on the floor was Apollo, the Greek god who had damned them all and brutally gutted Apollyme's son Acheron when he'd been human. That betrayal was what the goddess hated him for most. But it paled in comparison to the thousands of years Apollo had spent torturing Acheron's twin brother, Styx. As Apollo's granddaughter, Medea should probably feel bad for the old god. But since his curse had cost her her life, and he'd done nothing when the human vermin had slaughtered her husband and young son for no other reason than the fact that Apollo had cursed them to grow fangs and live only by night, she just couldn't find it in her heart to spare him. Rather, she hated him even more than her father did. Furious, she charged at him. Apollo pulled back, laughing. "I wouldn't, were I you." She hesitated.
"Meaning..."
"I know why you're here, and yes, I'm the cause of it all."
Apollyme flung out her hand and pinned him to the wall behind him.
"What have you done?"
He laughed even harder.
"All of you forget that I'm the god of plagues. I saved up enough of my strength for one last payback."
Medea went cold.
"What do we do, Akra?"
The expression on Apollyme's face confirmed her worst fear. There was nothing they could do. One god couldn't undo another god's spell or curse. Cruelty flashed in Apollyme's eyes.
"One bastard turn deserves another.
Apollo actually paled at her words. He'd been here long enough to learn to fear that look, as they all did.
What do you mean?
Apollome slid an insidious smile to Medea.
We can't kill Apollo. We can't undo this latest trick. But no one said we couldn't feed him to the Galu and let them turn him into one of their blood bitches, as they did Zakar. What do you think?
Medea laughed evilly. Oh, my lady Apollome, how I adore the way your mind works. Shall I summon Kassar for a negotiation?
Yes, little one. I think you shall.
Apollo screamed, You can't do that! Have you any idea what they'll do to the world?
She raked him with a cold, empty stare.
You forget, dearest Apollo. I am Apollome, the great destroyer. You think I care for these mortal fools?
She smiled at Medea.
Summon them.